Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
Frankie.
I want to sing along, but I don't want to embarrass myself.
Farinis are Sinatra fans, aren't they?
We are.
Which one's better, Sinatra or the other guy? That's saying
Dean Martin.
Dean Martin, there you go.
I don't know. They're both good for different reasons.
Look at you. You're
yeah,
a politician.
I mean, you know what? You can't ask me my favorites. I am the worst because I like so many things. I don't have like favorite colors, favorite songs, favorite... I just don't.
Well, I know that you and Joe Farini, your fabulous husband, who, again, will be celebrating Father's Day with him this weekend.
Yep.
And so stay tuned for that. Remember your dad as well. Your favorite topic, without a doubt, I know, is talking about marriage. And today we're bringing Joe on by phone. And what we're going to talk about is this. Why do you think the divorce rates are higher for couples who've lived together before marriage? So thanks for coming on by phone, Joe.
It's great to be here with you.
And don't forget, in case you missed it, she said, bald is beautiful.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I'm so relieved to know that.
So, okay, Joe, are you aware of the facts on divorce rate tied to living together and being intimate before marriage?
Well, it is true. Statistically, couples who are sexually active before marriage will have a much higher incidence of divorce and a higher incidence of affairs after marriage. In fact, here's one fact that we have for you. Cohabitation surveys show that of 100 couples that cohabit, 40 will break up before they marry. Of the 60 that marry, 45 of them will get a divorce, leaving only 15 who cohabit have a chance of a lasting marriage. And so cohabitation, along with things like premarital sex, and along with pornography addiction, these are issues that tend to decrease the trust and the intimacy levels in a relationship. If I can give you one example here, Cindy talks about speaking for family life, but one time we had a woman attend one of our conferences, and she said that, before our marriage, my fiancé said to me, I can't wait any longer to be with you. And that included cohabitation and premarital sex. And she wanted to say that she was quite flattered initially to be so desired and to be, and they became sexually active and involved with each other. Well, she then went on to say that, well, now that we're married and my husband travels extensively, sometimes when he's away, I wonder, was he really saying, I can't wait any longer to be with you? Or was he just saying, I can't wait? What happens if you can't wait and I'm not there? And this is just a good example of a lack of trust that is birthed out of these premarital sexual activities. And the bottom line on this one, Brian, is that there will be consequences in your marriage and in your relationship in general if you engage in premarital sex.
Hmm. Cindy, how would you encourage couples to not live together based upon all those statistics? I mean, what would you say? Because it's counterintuitive, quite frankly. I mean, people will go, well, why wouldn't you practice? You practice piano so you can be good for the concert. Why shouldn't I live together?
Well, and we have a lot of times where young couples will say things like, you know, it doesn't say in the Bible that you can't live together. Well, the Bible does say, let the marriage bed be undefiled. And most people that are living together are sexually active. I would say when we speak to the smaller groups of the pre-married couples, I would say, and this is not a statistic that is, you know, we haven't done any research on it, but just by a show of hands, and we'll say, you know, how many of you are living together? And they're not shy to say so. I would say 80 to 90% of those who are calling themselves Christians are living together. And I think it's because it's become such a cultural, like, okay. But how would I encourage them? At the end of this time with them, in our manuals, actually, we have what we call a purity covenant. And so what I do is, you know, like I can be their moms, most of these people. So, and I'll never see them again. So I have sort of an attitude. So I say to them, you know, okay, so what I want you to do tonight on your date night, and I look at the guys, I go, this is for all of you guys. I said, I want you before your date, I want you to read this purity covenant. And then I want you to talk with your either girlfriend or fiance, whatever their relationship is at the time, whether or not you're living together. I want you to have this conversation about how can we from this moment on begin to have purity in our relationship. And that purity isn't just in terms of sexuality, but it's also in terms of what's our heart in this matter. And so I encourage and I challenge the men to take the lead and go through this purity covenant and then say, from this moment until we marry, we are going to have purity in our marriage. If that means moving out, moving in with a friend until you get married, there's many options. We could go through those. But take that step. And then I say to the gals, if he doesn't take this step, I want to ask you, what kind of a leader is he going to be in your home and in your marriage? And it's not necessarily a red flag, but it's pretty orange. And so that's my encouragement to young people.
Well, and that, I think, emphasizes the point that's so valuable in the midst of this, is that so many people feel like it's too late. Like, someone might be listening now going, well, we're already living together. Oh, this is so dramatic. I mean, it's too late. It's not too late.
No, the whole idea really is, it's a matter of heart attitude. It's a matter of obedience. You know, when we obey the Lord, we will not regret that. It's when we are acting in disobedience that we will have regret.
Yeah, and God will forgive you for your mistakes in your past, no matter what they are, no matter what kind of sin we're talking about, and you can recommit yourself to spiritual purity with Him moving forward. And
absolutely,
you can be pure starting today, right?
That's right.
I mean,
that's
the beauty of the gospel. When you're talking about it, about sexual intimacy before marriage, and talking about cohabitation, that's the good news, right?
That's absolutely right.
Right, absolutely.
And somebody has to take the first step. We always say that in communication. Somebody has to take the first step. Maybe it's the gal who's thinking about it, but she doesn't want to say anything. She doesn't want to lose this guy. She doesn't want, but there's so, you know, the book, The Ring Makes All the Difference. There is so much in that book. If I read that book as a, for those who are listening, if you're a young couple and you're thinking about getting married, but, oh, maybe we'll live together first, read that book, The Ring Makes All the Difference. I think it will really give you some wonderful things to think about.
Any final thoughts, Joe?
Well, you know, we need to keep in mind that God is the one who created both sex and marriage. And sex is to be done only in the context of marriage. And when you violate that purity of what Cindy's talking about, of why and what sex was created in the first place to be, you are stepping outside of God's protection for that relationship. And so I love what, you know, Cindy does there with the pre-marriage. You know, we strongly encourage all pre-marriage to agree to keep that promise of purity. And the reason for that, of course, is because of maintaining purity will make your marital intimacy much more fulfilling and a lot more enriching during your marriage. And Cindy referenced this just a little bit in passing, but Brian, if I can just add one more thought here. Purity is not only abstaining from sex before marriage, but also maintaining sexual faithfulness in marriage.
That's right.
And in Hebrews 13:4 is a scripture verse that Cindy was alluding to, and which is that let the marriage bed be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. So very strong words, but once again, we see the importance of doing things God's way.